The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
Jeremiah chapter 32. This is a great, great chapter here that is full of something that I want you to see, and I pray you never forget what I share today. I know I won't. This one's hit me different. This one's hit different. I preached this for the first time last Sunday in Orange County, and it is burning in me like my bones are on fire. That don't mean I got to scream to preach it. It just means I know, that's how I know this is a word for such a time as this. Verse 6, and Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shemal, your uncle will come to you saying, buy my field, which is in Anath, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. And no sooner had God spoken that word to him, then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, please buy my field that is in Anath, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, the redemption yours, buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So I bought the field from Hanamel, my uncle, and I gave him the money, 17 shekels of silver. Verse 10, I signed the deed. I sealed it. I took witnesses. I weighed the money on scales. I took the purchase deed according to the law and the custom. And the purchase deed was taken. And listen to verse 12. And he said, I did this in the presence of the witnesses who signed the purchase deed before all the Jews who sat in the court of the prison. Verse 15, for thus says the Lord. Now, all of that's done. It seems strange, seems weird. What in the world has that got to do with anything? But here's what it's connected to. Verse 15, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields, vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Now, when I had delivered the purchase deed to Barak, the son of Nera, I prayed to the Lord, saying, everybody read verse 17 out loud, please. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. I want to talk to you, and I've got a three-word sermon title that is more than a word. It is a prophetic proclamation. It is something I want to get lodged into your mind and into your spirit, in your mentality, and in your heart. Three words. Better is coming. Would you say that with me? Better is coming. I want you to turn to somebody beside you and shake them a little bit and say, I'm telling you, better is coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Death and disease and disaster was at the door. Nebuchadnezzar had invaded Israel. He had leveled and decimated their armies of resistance, and now they had completely surrounded and besieged the city of Jerusalem. All hope was gone. They were about to be taken into 70 years of captivity. Jeremiah the prophet went to the king before it ever happened and warned him that if he didn't turn back to God, the nation would be devastated and destroyed. And instead of receiving the prophecy, he rejected it. And for pastor appreciation, threw Jeremiah into a pit. The Bible called it mire. The scripture said that they took clothing, cloths, tied them together. Imagine this, lowered him down by his arms into this deep, deep pit that was full of mire, full of waste, full of the sewage from the palace. It was up to, your Bible gives great descriptions in this, up to his chest and neck. He stayed there for days and days. And the Bible said he was only fed, listen to the details, molded bread. They would throw him one slice of molded bread for telling the truth, for preaching the truth. And they threw it to him and he would have to pick it up out of the mixture of mire and muck and eat it just to sustain his life. This is now... You understand, then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, in these horrible, deplorable, dark, devastating, in a dungeon, a good man is having bad things. He's in the king's palace. This is even worse. He's in the king's palace, the dungeon in the king's palace. It's one thing when you're not a king's kid. It's one thing when you're going through stuff and you don't belong to the king, but it's when you're in his house and you feel like you're in the dungeon. Sometimes we don't understand when bad gets good things and good gets bad things, but it happens. And in that situation, that's when the word of the Lord came to him. I'm reading it right in text. And the Lord said, now, your uncle's about to show up with a real estate contract, and I want you to buy it. I want you to buy the land that he's offering you. How ridiculous. The enemy is outside. The land has been taken. The homes have been burned. The city's about to be decimated. And everybody's selling. Nobody's buying. And God says to him in the lowest, most unbelievable conditions, buy into the fact that better is coming in the place that looks like nothing but bad is happening. Your conditions are going to change and they don't know it, but I want you to do this in front of all the prisoners who are in the same condition you're in. I want to teach people what they are to do when it looks like everything is gone and they're in the lowest place they've ever been in their life. That's when you don't buy in to the bad. You buy in to brighter days are ahead. This is what faith does. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And he said, in those conditions, death is at the door, you're in the dungeon, all hell, 10,000 of the most talented young people are being chained even as he's speaking and being hauled off to Babylon to build the kingdom of Babylon, and the city of Jerusalem will be left no stone unturned. And in the middle of that, you get a real estate contract and you buy what everybody else is selling. He's coming to offer you, and this is so important, Hannibal, not cannibal, Hannibal is coming, and Hannibal, and I challenge you after this message to look this up if you don't believe me, because in the Hebrew language, that name means grace is coming. Grace is coming to your dungeon. And Anath, the piece of property, it's the Hebrew meaning is answers. I could not believe it, but I looked up on that with truth. Answers. Answers are coming. Grace is coming with answers to your lowest place. And when it's offered to you, buy it. Buy it. Grace, notice when grace comes, it never comes with pity. Grace and God's word will never come to you and say in your lowest moments, you ought to feel sorry for yourself. Yes, I agree with you. You ought to quit. Yes, as a matter of fact, if I were you, I would just check out and end it all. Grace never does that. Grace always comes with hope. Grace always comes and says, better is coming. You hold on. God's not through. God's not finished. God's not done with your family in all of its dysfunction, with your business in all of its struggle, with your marriage in all of its trouble. God says, I am the one who, and is anything too hard for me? That scripture is connected to this. And you think your problem is severe. How severe was this man's problem? And God said, don't back off now. Buy into it. Buy into better days and brighter days. They're on the way. The answer always comes with action when grace shows up. More is going on here than a real estate transaction and money being exchanged for a piece of property. It was a mindset that God wanted us to get. And it goes into great detail. I signed the contract. I put it in an earthen vessel. I sealed the earthen vessel. And I buried it in the ground. If you read the whole story, I buried it in the ground. And even though my problem would not be solved in a week or 3 weeks or even 3 months, I can't promise you how quick your miracle will come. That's our problem. We quit and give up when it's not easy to hold on. But he said, I want my people to spiritually, when I give them a promise, put it in an earthen vessel. We're that earthen vessel. How are you going to do that? Put it in a spiritual jar, sign that contract, seal it, and shove it in your mind, your upper room. And I want you, when you're in Babylon and having a bad day, not to whine and cry with no hope, but I want you to remember over there in Jerusalem, I've got a document that says it ain't going to always be like this. It's not going to end like this. You may not understand where you are. You may feel so distraught with what's going on in your life, but better is coming. I feel like shouting that over America right now. Better is coming. Don't you think the Babylonians are in control? God is in control. God says, is anything too hard for me? No, no, he can do anything. He can do everything. He says, don't be owned by your present. Invest in your future. It's not going to always be like this. It's going to be different. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to hear that watching me on television. It's going to be better. That's why you can't quit now. That's why you can't take your life now. That's why you can't go back to drugs, because now the enemy has brought another hit and you just feel like you've hit bottom. The future is bright if you'll hold on and if you'll buy into the fact that God said better is coming. Get that mentality, shove that promise in your mind and say, I can't quit now. My family's going to see better days. My marriage is going to see better days. My grandchildren are going to, my addicted son or my bound daughter, my daddy who's an alcoholic, I'm not going to live like, I'm not buying into bad. Hallelujah. I'm not buying into broken. I'm not buying into dysfunction. I'm not buying into depression. I'm buying in. The weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming back to my life and to my family and to my world. Don't let the pain of your present prison cause you to give up on your future. Well, how long is it going to last? That's not the question. You're asking the wrong question. When grace comes and gives you an answer and a promise, you don't start saying, well, how long is this trial going to last? The only question is, how long are you going to last? Because if you won't quit, if you won't give up, God will fulfill his word. Nothing's too hard for him. God is in control. And he said, the reason I want you to buy right now is because brighter days are coming. Ooh, hallelujah. When I think about the fact that 70 years of bondage And God said, don't buy 30 years from now. Don't buy in 20 years or 60 years from now or 55 years or 75 years or 65 years. Don't buy in then because you're getting a feeling like things are turning. But he said, I want you to buy in right where you are because the same field that the enemy, the same piece of ground that the enemy has broken you and devastated you and taken away your family and done so much to you, this is the very same field I'm going to bring you back to, and it will be the place of your greatest joy and your greatest victory and your greatest anointing. Hallelujah. Take a praise break right now and shout a little bit. I feel something stirring in this house. I'm trying to behave. We got new people watching because we bought $1.8 million worth of airtime. But I still believe that he doesn't just restore our lives. He restores our joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And in the same place that you've wept, you're going to rejoice and say, oh my God, look what God did with the mess. Turn to somebody and say, don't wait till the trial's over. Believe better is coming right now. Well, you don't know the pain of my past. Well, you don't know the favor of your future. Better days are ahead. Better days are ahead for America. I'm not buying into bad. You know, the older you get, the more negative you get. If you don't watch it, you have to control it. The older people get, it's bad. Well, mama, what do you think about it? It's bad. It don't even matter. It doesn't really matter. Pick it. Pick whatever you want to pick. Bad. That's how you know you're getting old. Everything's bad. The music's bad. Why don't they play the 70s music? Now, I would still say that's the better music, but it's the truth. But you know, if you don't watch it, you act like everything's bad. Everything's bad. Look in the mirror. Everything's bad. It's bad. You're so old. What is going on? Bad. But stop buying into bitter. Stop buying into broken just because your family's broken in some areas for generations. We don't have to buy into that. We know the one, the God who said, nothing is too hard for me. And I'm making promises to families. God made that promise to families in the same land the enemy thinks he took. There is in your mindset a promise from God that says it doesn't look good right now, but I walk by faith, not by sight. Better days are coming. A better season is coming. Better blessings are coming. Hallelujah. Don't let the inner internal storm make you bitter and broken and think bad. That's not the gospel. We're not called to be a bunch of pessimistic people who hate half the country because they don't see what we see. They don't know who we know. They don't know the truth of what we know. So all we need to do is stand here and say, I got a promise and I'm standing on the promise, and better is on the way. Now watch this. God said, here's what you do when you end up in a horrible situation and it's not going to change in a day, a year, or even 3 years or a long time. What did we do, Lord? This is given to the same people, Jeremiah 29. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to all the people who carried away captive, and now they're down there in Babylon. That's where we are, spiritually speaking. We're in Babylon. This old world is not our home. We're headed to New Jerusalem. And he says, so here's what you do in the meantime before better gets there. He said, you build some houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, and eat fruit, find you a wife. That's a blessed word right there. Beget sons and daughters. Y'all know what that means? And take wives for your sons and your daughters. There's only two options up there, if you notice, that you may be increased and not diminished. And listen to this. I'm just packing my bags, and I bless God the Antichrist is coming. I'm getting, and seek peace for the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord. In other words, affect your communities. Affect your nation. I'm so tired of people telling me faith doesn't belong in the government and politics and all that. Shouldn't have nothing to do with us. You don't know what you're talking about. We're here to build homes and get married and have babies and have grandbabies and make sure that the nation they come up in is one that fears God and God we trust. And nothing wrong with that. We're supposed to carry our faith in every aspect of our life. I can't check my faith in. I am who I am because of who he is. But I love it. I love those instructions. Everybody say, build houses. Doesn't sound like a bunch of old sad sacks sitting back, beat up victims, poor us, oh my God, bad, bad, bad. He said, no, be productive. You know, if you're going to build a house, number one, that means get a job. Get a job. And then he said, find you a wife. If you're a man, and find you a husband, if you're a woman, I'm going to preach to young men right quick. Get off the dumb video game and find you a wife. Get you a job, build you a house, fall in love, get married, get married. We don't have time. Jesus is coming again. That's why a lot of people got married back in my day, was because they were scared of rapture. We heard rapture so much that we were scared we were going to be an eternal virgin when we got to heaven. And so we back then you had to get married if you... Y'all better help me. But get a job and get off the dumb video game and get out of Facebook and meet somebody for real. Aren't you tired of touching the screen? You could be touching a pretty little face and holding somebody's hand. What is wrong with you? Get a dream. Build a house. Get you some land. Get you own a piece of property. It'll do something for your testosterone. That's why they're all confused and don't know if I'm a cat or I'm a male or a female. You got to get something going. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just trying to preach the word. And that's how far we've drifted as a culture. But we're called to build our cities and build businesses and show the world another way that you can do it, and you can do it for the glory of God, and you can raise a family in Babylon, and they have children and children's children. We ought not to be giving up on our school system, giving up on our legal system. Do something about it. Get in it and fix it. And it's, we're the salt. We're called to do it. Look at what it said, seek peace for the city, for the nation. Influence it. Get on the school boards. Quit whining about, oh, they're not. Get on the school board then. Run for it. Tell me you're running for it. I'll put your thing up there. I tell you what, we ain't got time to play these stupid games. It's time for the church to be the church and stand for what is right. We want our children to learn how to read and write and do arithmetic and build and be successful, not nonsense. Come on, church. Come on, church. Better is coming. Better is coming. We're better than this, and better is coming. And pray. Keep loving people. Don't get all caught up in bitterness and hatred for people who don't see what you see and think like you think. Truth is, they know some things probably that are a great truths that every side needs to just grow up and quit being a bunch of babies. We need one another. So what that verse is saying is, better is coming. So you work real hard and don't ever give up on the land that God has put you in. You can't do anything to change the present circumstances, but I want you to build houses and plant gardens and get married and have children where you are. I wrote this down between services, and I want to say it, and I want to say it bold. It just came to me in between services. This is what the Lord said. He said, I have a little addendum to your little sermon. He said, the conditions, tell the people the conditions are not permanent that they are in presently. Secondly, he said, Proverbs 23 and verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Don't sell out on truth. Stand for truth. Number three, he said, there will be times when it looks like nothing is happening. That's when you have the mentality that you have put the promise of God in your mind and you say, better is coming. Oh, this, I wish I could come. Don't lease it. Don't rent it for a little while. Buy it. The difference between leasing and renting and buying. Buy when everybody else is selling. And buy what everybody else is selling out on. Everybody else is selling out on this old book. Ten Commandments. Salvation, no other name but the name of Jesus, whereby men must be saved. He said, the more you buy into that, when other people are selling it out, he made them male and female. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm buying into what this book says. I'm buying into marriage. The marriage bed is undefiled. Buy into it. Buy into your family. I don't care how dysfunctional they are. Keep loving them. Keep preaching to them. Keep reaching for them. Keep helping them. Keep loving them. Keep forgiving. Don't buy into bad. Don't buy into bitter. Don't buy into broken. Don't buy into depression. Don't buy into addiction. Don't buy into curses. Buy into the promises of God, which are blessings. I'm done. Build some houses and get married and have babies and be the church and get involved and do good things with your life. Don't you buy into bad. Don't you believe that there's no reason to dream and go to college or anything else? The Apostle Paul put it like this. He said, three times I asked God to take my problem away, and God would not take my problem away. And then he made this statement. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. The word rather is interesting. The word rather means I have an option. When you're in a problem and the problem won't go away for a long time, you have a rather. You can either buy into how terrible and awful and bad and negative and death and destruction and pain and, oh, life has lost all of its joy for me because of all that has happened to me. You can do that. But Paul said, I've got a problem and I've asked God three times to fix it. What was the thorn? We're not told what the thorn was. Somebody said it was his mother-in-law. I don't know what it was. It wasn't my mother-in-law, but I don't know what it was. I'm glad he didn't say what it was. That means it could be whatever your problem is. That will not go away. He said, I will gladly, therefore, rather, means I got a choice. It's not going anywhere, so I can either whine and talk about how bad it is, or I can turn it into I will gladly, therefore rather glory in my infirmity, in my problem that won't go away. I'll turn it into something that I realize, because I reckon, he goes on to say, that this present problem is not worthy to be compared to the better that is coming out of it when God gets through with it. Clap like you believe all things are working together. All things are working together. All things are working together for the good to them. Even prison. You got to rather. Make sure your rather is right. I'll just glory in where I am right now, what I'm going through right now. I would never choose it. But since I'm here and I can't do nothing about it, nothing's too hard for God. He's allowed me to be here. I mean, I wanted you to, I purposely drew that picture of in your minds of Jeremiah with the cloths and the mud and the muck, the molded. I wanted you to see, who in the world ever told you if you live for Jesus, you'll just have a beautiful, beautiful, perfect life? What a joke. What he does tell you is there is better coming. The trumpet's going to sound. Until then, I'll give you grace. Grace will just keep coming to your dungeon. I'll send him with answers every time. I'll need you to shove another jar in your brain every once in a while, because you'll need to get your thinking right. But when it's all said and done, for the believer, we're going to dance on streets of gold. No more sorrow. No more pain. No more death. No more tears. No more sorrow. Sickness. Better is coming. And that's not just in the hereafter, although that is great. But the Lord said, I want people today who hear this message to know it is a prophetic declaration into their future. It's the jar buried with the promise in earthen vessels, that I will bring you back to the very spot that Satan thought you would crumble and break, and you will see, I am a good God. I am a good God. Stand to your feet, please, all over the building. Very reverent for just a few more moments. I just feel like I ought to open the altar this morning for everybody in the room who would say, Pastor Jensen, and this message is for me. This one's hit, like I said, it's hitting me different. I hear you preach. This one hits different. This is mine. This is my contract with God. This is my sealed jar that I need to bury in my heart, in my mind, my mentality. I don't know what you're facing, what you're going through in your marriage, your family, your business, your health, your future. It's all about your future. Give up on your future. That's what the enemy's whispering. Give up on your future. But if you know this is a message for you and you know God is speaking to you, slip out of your seat and walk down here as quick as you can get down here, because this is what it's all about now. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Will you sing that verse before you sing the chorus?
I've searched the word.
Words.
But it couldn't fill me. And man's empty praise and treasures of faith.
Beautiful. Come on, get in.
Never enough.
Get in on this. Buy into this.
Oh, but you're
walking down that aisle, you're buying into this.
And put me back.
Buy into it. Buy into it.
Now every desire is now satisfied. And here in your
heart. Ushers, help me. Pastors, help me. Get them in. Get them in.
Hope is nothing.
Sing it, church.
Better than you.
With grateful hearts, sing it. Gethsemane was dark, but better was coming.
Nothing is better than you.
I'm not afraid.
Oh, and I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid.
To show you my weakness.
I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
My failures and flaws, Lord, you see them all, and you still call me friend.
Yes, he does. Called you friend.
The God of the mountain is the God of the valley.
He's the God of the valley.
And there's not a place where your mercy and
worship him all over this room, at every campus, in the prison house. Throw your hands up and say, right here, I'm buying in.
Better
is coming. He's my better. Ashes are gonna become beautiful.
You turn shame into glory.
Oh yes.
You're the only one. You turn born into.
Do you believe it? Take that jar. Sign that contract. Buy now.
You turn.
Buy what everybody else is selling real cheap.
You're the only.
That's my God. Nothing is too hard for him. To you this morning. So many tears, so many people really going beyond the veil into the presence. You feel this thing. He's putting his promise in your earthen vessel. That song, that's it. Sing the whole thing. Sing the whole thing.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me.
Jesus.
You've been so,
declare
so
that.
Good to me.
Gratitude is the seed for more. Gratitude is the seed for more. If you're not thanking him for what he's already done, because you're so in your present circumstance, you can miss it.
So kind.
You've been so
kind, even in my soul. Sing that again.
Overwhelming.
when you think he's going to throw you away. He'll chase you down.
No, I couldn't earn it. No, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. And only overwhelming, never-ending, breathless love.
When I was your foe, we say,
when I was your foe.
So good.
You've been so, so good.
Can I get a witness in this place
when
this morning?
When I felt no worth, hey.
When I felt no worth, you paid it all.
You did it all, Jesus. Nothing's too hard for you.
Yeah.
You have
been. Every life. I want to come after me.
There's no shadow.
There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. Lie you won't tear down. Coming after me.
Come on. There's no shadow, we say. There's no shadow you won't light up.
Presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is in this room. And don't buy into it's always going to be this way. Every one of you who are here, you'd say, Pastor, I walked in and I know that I'm lost and I'm not right with God. You may have already responded to come forward, or you may be in the back and up in the balcony or watching online or wherever you're watching this by television. But you would say, I know I'm not right. I'm not ready. Coming of the King. World is in bad shape. But you can have peace. Peace. A mentality that says better is coming. It is for the righteous. It is not for the unrighteous. There is a heaven, there is a hell. You're going to one or the other. It's not a game. He loved you so much, he died for you and rose from the dead that you could have peace. Grace is coming to your dungeon right now. And he's not telling you to give up. He's telling you to get up. You're coming out of that pit, out of that muck, out of that mire, out of that addiction, out of that alcoholism, out of that shame, out of that abuse, out of that pain, out of that system. Cycles of failure in Jesus' name. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not right. I need to get right with God today. Boldly raise your hand if you know that is you. Boldly raise your hand. Unashamed. Powerful. Powerful. I can see from a vantage point, many of you can. It's pretty amazing. At every campus, now pray this prayer. Say, Jesus, save me by your blood. I receive newness of life, eternal life. I am forgiven. I am cleansed. The shame is gone. And today, I see better is coming. In Jesus' name, I'm forgiven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brighter days are ahead. You believe that, church?
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.